Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood, who is the Public Information Officer for your Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to have you. Good to have you. So people just can't seem to stop themselves from breaking into the old Baptist Hospital. Is that right?
Can you believe it? I think we're like 8-0 on this. people should understand that when you go and try to break into that property, that you're going to get caught. And I'm not going to talk about how that happens, but it happens. And it's usually juveniles looking for things to take. There's some sort of treasure in there that they must have, but they're going to get caught. So, that problem's going to solve itself soon. But in the meantime, we just want people to stay beyond the fence. It's up for a reason, and to stay out of those buildings.
It's the ever popular Old Baptist Hospital trophy that they're trying to acquire for their collection. I guess, are you guys using it as like a bait hospital now, like to try to entice them to? Why is it so popular?
No, we don't have to do anything. It's just, I guess it's an attractive nuisance maybe to some people, but there's, you know, it can be obviously dangerous in
right.
there, and it's not theirs. It's not their stuff to steal. So we just want people to stay out of there.
You've also got a motor vehicle burglary that was sort of interceded with. Is that right?
Yeah, that was last Friday night in the 100 block of Escalona. There were three individuals that were breaking into vehicles. One owner saw this, called police, and officers arrived on the scene. Two of them took off. A third one also ran, but was tracked down by K-9 Officer Jones. And Officer Abed was, and they were able to locate that one suspect. So we've got two more outstanding on that, but a good job on the track with Officer Abed and K-9 Jones on that one.
And these are, I'm sorry, you might have said, but juveniles, adults who don't know?
Juveniles.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Juveniles are pretty big territory. 13, 14, 15, or like 16, 17, 18, because this is something we talked about a lot is, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have exact ages on them, but yeah, most of the time it is in that late teen, early 20s area when we see those things.
And I'm assuming that they were not breaking into cars; they were instead just looking for open doors and then trying to steal the cars that were open or stealing stuff out of those cars. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the first thing they're going to do is pull on those door handles, and that's why we say until we're blue in the face, please lock the doors. But sometimes there's things left out in the open in plain sight that and the car is locked, and that's when the window usually gets punched.
You also had a fatality on Creighton Avenue, also on Friday. A lot of weird stuff happening on Friday, right?
Yeah, this was late Friday on Creighton Road. It was near Walmart where a single vehicle rollover crash occurred, and unfortunately the single occupant, it was a 22-year-old male, passed away at the scene. So we're still investigating that one to find out what the factors were, what the cause was on that. But it's sad to say we've just had way too many fatalities in the city of Pensacola this year and last year. And Mayor Reeves and Chief Winstrom and a lot of folks are looking into this, trying to find a way to get those numbers back down to where they were.
So,
which is, one is too much, but they were a lot lower in years past.
Okay, so just a question. You said single vehicle fatality, and that's by, like, the Walmart. Are they going eastbound or westbound? Because I drive that road all the time, so.
Yeah, it looks like they were coming from 9th Avenue going westbound. So I don't know if they came from Creighton or came from 9th Avenue. That's still under investigation.
Okay, but, like, speeding, we don't know. Like, it's a weird thing to happen, right? I mean, I understand if you run into another car, but unless you're going really fast or something like that and you're reckless driving, it's such a big, wide, safe road. That's why I ask.
Yeah, it is. And looking at the damage on the vehicle, it looks like speed may have played a part in that. Again, that's something that's under investigation. But when you say speed, sometimes there's other factors that can come into play there, but
like impairment.
To say that for sure is something I can't do at this point.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We're talking to Mike Wood. He is Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, I did want to have a conversation with you. Two things. One is, sometimes I bring up a topic with all three of y'all. I talk with the sheriffs and talk with you, of course. And sometimes I bring it up with all of you because it's relevant to all of you. But in this case, it's because USA Today Network here, Gannett Network here in Florida and through the PNJ ran a report about Florida Highway Patrol and the allegation that they are searching black drivers' vehicles at a disproportionately high rate compared to white drivers' vehicles getting searched. And I think it's important for people to know that in Pensacola, for a long time, you guys have had a very robust system of tracking all of this data to make sure that there isn't some inappropriate or disproportionate racial bias in this, right?
Yeah, we've had that for years. It's TD, traffic stop data recording, to where we enter information on why we've stopped the vehicle, the occupants, the demographics of the occupants, everything, their age, how many were in the car, and it, if there were any charges, if there was warnings. Well, there's a lot of information there that's entered on each and every traffic stop. And if something was happening to where an officer was picking on a certain race or age or a certain kind of vehicle, that would stick out like a sore thumb very quickly and could be addressed.
Mike, when I was talking to Sheriff Simmons about this on Tuesday, he made a comment that made a lot of sense to me, which is, you know, as somebody who cares about statistics and math and data, I know that you've got to be very careful about how you interpret things, because a small miss in understanding the context of a number can lead you to a terrible misunderstanding of that number. He was making the point that a lot of times it might be that a particular police officer or a sheriff's deputy is assigned to a beat that is a disproportionate race. And which, of course, is true, because some neighborhoods are more black or more white or whatever. And that can wind up influencing things like, you know, traffic stop or search data. I assume that same kind of thing can be an influence on the data when it comes to PPD, right?
Oh, absolutely. You can have an officer that's very active, that's very proactive in a neighborhood, and it looks like that officer is picking on people. Whereas if you put an officer over there that's not as proactive, and I don't want to use the word lazy, but one that just answers calls and does the bare minimum, then you're not going to see that from that officer. So there's a fine line in there. You have to look at the data and make a decision based on that. And again, if it's looking like that a certain demographic is getting targeted, then it sticks out and we're able to address that.
And the other part of this that I think is important, and I know we've seen like what the LA City Council has done to vote to recommend to their police advisory board that they eliminate any pretextual stops, you know, traffic or lights being out, the, you know, tint on the window, broken windshield, all of that kind of stuff. You know, going through a stop sign, I guess, I don't know, the speeding, minor speeding. Anyway, there's a whole list of things. But so-called pretextual stops, where you have a legitimate legal reason in stopping them, if you then have an additional reason to suspect there's a crime, and then you conduct a search and you find something, I mean, pretextual stops are invaluable when it comes to policing. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And we've had a lot of serious crimes solved because of that. In fact, if you remember, Ted Bundy was arrested in Pensacola because of a light being out. So that's very important, but we're going to have a legal reason to stop that vehicle. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, it was a license plate light. Who cares? Well, there's a statute. It's a legal reason to stop a vehicle. But a lot of times there can be a vehicle is suspicious in an area. And we're going to stop that vehicle or follow that vehicle for a while. And if they find a light out or the driving pattern, there's something wrong with that. They're not able to maintain their lane, then they're going to get stopped. And things can go from there. But if there's nothing in the vehicle, nobody's committed a crime, then that's going to be a very short traffic stop.
Very good. We're talking to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for PPD. The other thing I wanted to talk with you about, Mike, is the report that opioid deaths, overdose deaths from fentanyl in particular, are significantly down from last year, which is, I mean, thank God. You know, if we were at 100,000, now we're at 70, and 45 of those or so, 1,000 of those are from fentanyl. I mean, that's people are alive, okay? Unfortunately, from my perspective, unfortunately, it looks like maybe the reason is because they're using alternate drugs that don't carry as much risk of death, like xylazine and this one metamidine, I think is how you say it, or something like that. But also because maybe they are using fentanyl in a different way. They're maybe smoking instead of injecting, and I don't know why that would be easier to regulate, but apparently it is. In any case, what are you guys seeing? I assume you're seeing the same thing here in Escambia County, but are you seeing a shift in consumption to go along with that reduction in overdoses?
Yeah, so before I get started, excuse me, why it's happening, we can't put a finger on that just yet, but I can tell you that the deaths are down. I know that there was a time in a year ago, maybe a little bit further back than that, that it was hard for a day to go by without someone being found deceased in a vehicle in Pensacola or Escambia County. It was that bad. And I guess sooner or later, maybe the word gets around, and they were buying drugs off the street from people they didn't know, that there was no way to know what was in it. They just needed that quick fix, and it was killing them. So word gets around, and maybe they're finding other drugs or other ways to not buy things off the street that they simply don't know what they were injecting. So the numbers are down, but as to why, that's something we just can't point to yet 100%.
And the fentanyl test strips is another thing. What I've read is that, you know, more people are using those, and that's a way of defending themselves against unintentional fentanyl poisoning, which is, again, that's, you know, I hate the fact that they're using drugs, illegal drugs. Dope is dope. But I'm glad that we're able to at least, you know, keep people alive. Plus the CORE program. I mean, I know that's been effective in Escambia County, and of course EMS in Escambia covers the city too, so you know, getting opioid users off of those things is also, you know, all of these things work together, and you know, the collective result will take the win for that. Last thing, just because I think it's kind of an entertaining story, a couple of weeks ago you and I were having some horrific phone problems. It kept dropping, you kept calling back, kept dropping, you kept calling back, which was, you know, not great for the radio, but it turns out maybe there was a benefit to this, because you were live out of a training class for sheriffs and police PIOs in Miami, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
Yeah, we had a bunch of brand new PIOs in the room. It was decided that since I had to step out of the room to do this this interview with you, I was asked, hey, can you do it in front of everybody and see, they can see what this is like. And if things were going fine until the calls began to drop. And when they did, that's something that neither one of us had any idea was happening. I certainly didn't know. The class didn't know. And we handled it. And we always try. And I told them that we have a rule that if this happens three times, we're not going to call back a fourth time. So after that was over with, it was an hour-long discussion afterwards on how to handle things that go wrong, whether it's on a phone or a live press conference or a live interview, how to handle these situations when they go wrong. And that was something that was not in the curriculum, that it will be now from now on. And they've asked me next year when we hold this class and I do the interview with you to once again do it in front of the class.
Oh, nice. So now I'm a training feature. I love
yes,
it.
You are.
Oh, man, be careful what you wish for.
Well, you've got a year to prepare for it, so that scares me.
That's, oh, man, that's fun. Because you know me, we're friends, and I sometimes ask you off-the-wall things, and I feel like I got to, you know, put my tie on and be respectable or something with these folks. That's great. No, I love that that led to a conversation and opened up an opportunity to talk about, you know, crisis response in a crisis, so to speak. So, like, that's great. All right. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department and genuinely one of the best at doing that job anywhere, period, hands down. I'll put him up against anybody. Mike, thank you so much for the time, always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir.